This is Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Christopher Nolan is directing the show today because we've got a little bit of hostception going on. Chris Holsky here. I am in for Andrew Pinsent, who had previously been in for Patricia Bull. I want to welcome back, a hearty welcome, to recreational Ottawa after it disappeared for the course of 2 days because of the smoke that was in the air. Lots of people back on bikes, back in running shoes along the Rideau Canal yesterday and other paths throughout the course of the city. It's fun. Yesterday, as I got home, thinking to myself, well, I want to try to dodge some raindrops. And now through the rest of the summer, I've got to be thinking both about the rain and air quality in general. That is the new normal, double N, for the remainder of this summer and summers to come, perhaps. I got to tell you, though, if you are the organizer of the OFSA track meet for high school students, and you take a look at how the air quality forecast has improved gradually for today, you are probably energized enough to clear the high jump yourself, no matter how old you are. Good luck to all the student athletes taking part, all the volunteers who are helping out with that in Ottawa today. A unique event. Glad they're getting a chance to go through it in full form today because things were looking a little bit iffy given the quality of air across the city of Ottawa and parts of Ontario. The entire province is looking better than expected today. In fact, we were trending towards high-risk air quality in areas primarily to the west of us, but it's actually turned out to be more moderate, and it could be low in many parts throughout the course of the weekend. In Ottawa, in fact, has certainly lucked out. The air that we breathe is how we're going to be starting our Big Five today.
Big news.
Even bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five stories.
Well, let's start off before I introduce the other members of the panel, hearing what the foremost authority, it seems, Canada's weather spokesperson, David Phillips, had to say about the prospect of smoke in Canada this year.
My sense is that it may be not as bad as this, but I think we'll have repeat performances. This is just in one way in a kind of a dress rehearsal of what we may see more of in the summer ahead, with it warmer and potentially drier than normal.
Joyous. So the smoke is gone in Ottawa, but it may in fact come back, and who knows when exactly it'll come back. And starting out the Big Five, I want to say hello to John Krupe, the assignment editor at CTV Ottawa. How are you doing, John?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good, and I'm glad that you're breathing easier because there are complications that can be created through the air quality we've had over the past few days. And the producer of the show, Corey Price, also here today.
You want to talk about hostception? We also have panelception because I have become you.
We are all over the place.
That's scary.
It's a staggering thought, for sure.
Putting on multiple hats, including John, who in fact is wearing a literal hat today. So, given that we are now hearing from David Phillips, who honestly took a sterner turn in some interviews, this, you know, the friendliest sounding forecaster in Canada saying something to the effect of get used to it. John, are you prepared to, in fact, get used to it over the course of the summer?
Oh, absolutely not. And I note that the Environment Canada has called a news conference for 11:30 to talk about the forecast for the summer. Wonder what they're going to say, if it's anything different than what David Phillips is saying right now. Whether you believe climate change or not, or let's call it air pollution, you know, we used to have smog. Remember, we used to have smog quite a bit.
Yes.
And then the coal fire plants were shut down and, you could finally see the CN Tower again in Toronto if you live there. So we've been used to some clean air and, to have these wildfires and forest fires. And if this forecast of, you know, it's not, to get used to it, who wants that?
Nobody does. Absolutely no one. And it's raising this specter about the summer festivals that happen outdoors in Ottawa. And I'm thinking to myself, how on brand would it be for there to be a plume of smoke going over the Capitol on Canada Day? Because we haven't had good luck with that day. I think maybe just once since Canada 2017. On the 150th, we had pouring rain. The next year, it was unbearably hot. I think 2019 was okay.
Wasn't there one year where it was too windy?
Too windy? I can't remember that one. That may predate when I came here.
Too windy and too cold, and they canceled the fireworks.
Oh, wow. And then we had the pandemic for 2 years. We had the convoy semi-reunion that happened last year that I think kept a few people away. Corey, how are your summer plans looking right now?
I don't think my summer plan... I'm not particularly worried about things happening to those. I think I'm taking the more of the approach of just this is a very unpleasant thought. And it's just a reminder that we really do take it for granted that you can just sort of go outside and it's fine. And I don't say that in like a joking tone, but I've been in other parts of the world where that's just not true, like every day, by virtue of be it pollution, be it fires, be it whatever else. There are lots of places that don't have the luxury of just going outside and taking a deep inhale, and that's fine. And the prospect of that becoming a slightly more precarious thing than it currently is not a fun thought.
No, and it is casting this just a shade of doubt throughout the course of the summer. But Corey makes a good point, John. This is something that has existed, not just around the world, but in North America and parts of the West Coast. And it seems like now, because it hits New York City and pretty much the epicenter of North American media is NYC, it seems like a lot more people are paying attention to it now.
Yeah, but the volume of the hectares lost and scorched, it's different. The volume of land lost and the forest lost. And, you know, there are stories about that you want to clean up the forest because of all the derecho and the ice storms have led to the, you know, massive underlying brush, and that's what started these fires. And that's what Michael Coates said to Graham this week. Remember, we interviewed him, and he said it looked like at Centennial Lake that the trees, the green tops were okay, but it was the underlying ember and the brush that was on fire that started everything. That's a concern. And then, of course, there's Danielle Smith in Alberta. Do you see what she said?
Yes, Premier Hot Takes strikes again.
Let's start an arson investigation, CSI Edmonton.
Yeah, so there was, and this has been misinterpreted, I think, by a lot of people online. There were arson charges that were laid in connection with arson with wildfires in Alberta. That is true, but those fires were from 2022. So explain the 2023 fires.
Well, it just happened again, obviously. You just don't get it.
Oh,
man.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think we may be headed towards a strategy that may alter how we treat these fires, because for the most part in Canada, and a lot of wildfire experts will tell you this is the way to go. You let them burn. You let them burn. And it's the way it is until things cool off as we get closer to winter.
Yep.
Now there are efforts to try to protect homes, of course, and populated areas from wildfires. But what we've seen over the course of this past week, I think they have to change how they look at it, because it just took one weather phenomena, this rotating storm system off the coast of the eastern United States, to take a bunch of wildfires around the middle of nowhere in Quebec and start pushing them down into the most highly populated areas. And it is something. Make no mistake about this. The air quality got so bad that it could kill people. Not immediately from breathing, but some of the consequences of breathing that kind of smoke in a populous area as large as an Ottawa has a million people, but that's still nothing compared to something the size of NYC or down towards Washington. I think there is going to have to be a lot more focus, if that's even possible, on taking a look at the location of some fires and worrying about what direction the wind blows.
Yeah, well, and not everybody can go inside if this is affecting increasingly populated areas to avoid the smoke. Like we were saying, you know, just stay inside if you can, wear a mask if you go out, all that. But it's like, okay, if I don't have a house, where would you like me to go? How long can I be there? The smoke doesn't go away when we all go to bed, right?
No.
Like, this is a lot of compounding issues, and it's one of those... It's one of these tiny rolling crises that we seem to have a lot of now, where it's just this reminder of, hey, this could get worse, but don't forget, but there's also this one and that one and all these other ones. And you're just like, okay, that's a lot. I'm going to go lie down now, I guess.
Well, in the last 2 years, how many times, because I was making note of this past week, and it's like I was cooking dinner, and well, there was a bunch of smoke outside the apartment. I was making some Tex-Mex, in fact, so that I could drown out some of the odor of any of the smoke that was seeping in. But the number of times that I've stood in that kitchen cooking dinner and trying to ignore what's happening outside Ottawa, John, it feels like we've been doing this over and over again over the course of the past few years.
And you know, the thing that you talked about the air system, right? They called it the Omega Block or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I understand all those stories over the years from California, the Santa Ana winds. And remember how all the destruction of homes there? Now I understand this airflow. Finally, it hits home, right? When it hits you. But the fighting forest fires has now become, one of the top three priorities in Canada. I mean, Canada is on fire and the world is noticing, and we have to do something about it.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is that while the United States and some members, especially the Republican Congress, are taking, well, Canada's blowing this. Well, one of the reasons why this is happening is because the amount of pollution that's been pumped into the air by the United States is one of the top two polluters in the United in the world.
You want to bring up Marjorie Taylor Greene and what she said?
The less I talk about MTG, the better, honestly. And just like Canada's climate cult is
what's fun. What's wrong with Magic the Gathering?
Magic the Gathering. That's right. Whenever I try to Google, honestly, MTG Canada to try to find some results on that, the first thing I got was about a fantasy card game instead of the house member from, I believe it's Georgia, right? That's where she's from in the U.S.?
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Well, we talk about these rolling crises. There may be some rolling power outages, perhaps, in our future. We have experts suggesting that intermittent power outages are more possible this year because of just the potential of added heat that we could have in the atmosphere. We're expecting Environment Canada saying a warmer summer than normal in Canada. And also that we have four nuclear reactors that are currently going through extended refurbishments as we try to change our energy generation. Now, this is really, John, it feels just like something that's being added to the pile this year.
Well, listen, last week, was it Canada? The air conditioning overload?
Yes.
And I said, boy, this reminds me of 20 years ago when we were on a slope of getting burnouts in Ottawa. And I think that at the time, the Harris government was even buying big, massive generators just in case. This is not good. And the story that Natalie Van Roy did yesterday at CTV News, you should look it up. We have some issues in Ontario. You talk about the nuclear plants, but we also have, we're on the edge here with the capacity and the infrastructure. And, you know, they're rebuilding the system from the derecho and the tornadoes. And Hydro Ottawa hasn't got back to us about, you know, that tweet and why. They did get back to us in a written statement, but they're not coming out saying, oh, you know, and I probably understand why, that, you know, our system, when the temperature is hot and everybody's on system, with the air blasting away, the cold air. This is not good.
Well, there is some reassurance that we're not headed, well, at least according to energy experts, that we're not likely headed to something like what occurred back in 2003 when a whole giant chunk of North America all lost power at once. Do you remember that, Corey? Do you remember 2003?
No, I was nodding along like I did. I don't even know why I was nodding. Absolutely not. 2003?
Yes.
Was it early or late in the year?
It was late in the year. So
I was six.
Yeah, wasn't it August?
It was August, yes.
Yeah.
It was so hot that day.
There might not have been power on my birthday
I turned six. You know what was eerie? We know it was eerie. It was looking across and seeing Gatineau lit up like a Christmas tree and Ottawa dark. And, of course, it went all the way down to the eastern seaboard of the United States, New York City, Cleveland, Detroit. And do you know that the first story, I'm sorry, I'm off topic a bit here. The first story was, I think, in the New York Post, and they blamed Ottawa. Something about a system in Ottawa breaking down. And the calls to the city, my goodness. Anyway, we're not going to get that again, the experts say. Thank goodness. But, you know, I'm still don't like those stories about we're at the edge of the line here of capacity.
Is there like a repeating pattern right now of the United States blaming Canada?
Easy target, I guess.
They're falling back into it lately. Coming up in a moment, speaking about what's going on in the United States, new developments on the Trump indictment today reported by CNN and ABC that are not looking very good for the Trump camp. That's next on our Big Five. I'm Chris Holsky in for Patricia Bull, CFRA's Ottawa at Work.
Big news.
Even bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five Stories.
Chris Holsky in for Patricia Bull, joined by assignment editor for CTV News Ottawa, John Krupe, and the producer of CFRA's Ottawa at Work, Rory Price. New details have emerged this morning connected with, perhaps not directly connected with this indictment, but in relation to the scope of the case. A tape has emerged, CNN and ABC reporting today, of Donald Trump in 2021 admitting that he knowingly took classified documents to Mar-a-Lago. Now, he is facing an indictment. The full details of this have not been completely disclosed because I believe word broke mainly through some sources, but also through Trump himself on social media last night. At this stage of the game, as we have a new indictment for Donald Trump, John, are you shocked at all?
Not at all. No, they what we've heard all along since that classified document story broke that he was going, this is very serious. It's federal espionage laws, and he was going to be charged. He's indicted now. Question is, you know, all along his strategy, whether it's impeachment, whether it's the sex assault trial, it's, you know, it's a witch hunt. His strategy was to use the witch hunt. He's fundraising off all these you want to call them incidents. He's fundraising off these controversies. But is this the one that's going to stick? Because Americans have become numb to all his troubles.
Yeah, and, well, a lot of them. And I'm not sure, and I know it may galvanize the base, but the base is not necessarily how he won back in 2016. It was in Florida senior communities. It was in suburbs with suburban moms. And I don't think that those votes switched to Joe Biden. Very well, not in Florida. Didn't get enough in Florida to flip that the Electoral College votes over to the Democrats. But still, that one part in the middle is not necessarily what something like this is going to help and try it when it comes to vote getting. You see a story like this, though, and you do wonder whether anything changes course in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so, right? Like, we just have no indication to believe that, in particular, when you're thinking like the core dedicated. Like, they will go to Miami when he goes to court and protest that he shouldn't be there. Like, that element of the base, which is not all of it, but it is a significant number, they see an indictment, they see, like, let's say it goes all the way, and it, like, he goes to prison or something. Let's hypothetically get all the way there. Nobody along the way of that happening in that camp will suddenly go, oh, maybe he did something bad, and maybe that action should have consequences. So we don't have any major indication to say that attitude is going to shift dramatically. And whatever he's doing right now, regardless of, as we've said, constant controversy, he seems to be doing all right. So,
yes.
I think this is add it to the pile until, you know, they come out with some more specific details.
I think
details.
He's going to end up with the nomination. Quickly, one last topic. When I was 8 years old, I was watching Ninja Turtles and and organizing my baseball card collection. I was not taking high school courses and university courses at the same time. History is going to be made this weekend as U of Ottawa will be presenting a diploma for biomedicine to Anthea Grace Dennis, 12 years old, a Bachelor of Biomedicine. How smart are you feeling today, John?
Well, just before I get to that statement, I rushed home to watch the Flintstones. So, yeah, this is incredible. She was on CTV Morning Live. She does research into cerebrum and brain research and presented her findings to the biology conference. I mean, come on. She's one smart teenager. Well, she's 12, sorry. She's one smart youngster. Let's call her that for now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Good for her. The youngest in Canada? Wow.
Yeah, Canadian history. How are you feeling? It's like you see something like this. It's unbelievable. It's not just that she's gifted. Her IQ puts her on the scale of someone who is highly gifted, but the work ethic that it takes to do this, Corey, is off the scale.
Yeah, 12-year-olds are doing comics and puzzles, and she's doing brain research. So that's all you need to know.
Well, I'll end with this because I know we're out of time. Yeah. I am upset that we were not able to get her on Ottawa at Work today.
It would have been. I tell you what, she's incredibly well-spoken, and you will hear from her during the 9:30 news with Annette Gerner. That is coming up next. Thanks to John. Thanks to Corey.
Have a great day.
This is the CFRA's Ottawa at Work. I'm Chris Holsky, and for Patricia Bull.